G'day, Zane. Zane Osborne is our guest today, and Zane is the assistant principal up in school in big primary school up in Armidale. Zane, g'day to you.
Hello, Louise. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
How are you finding up there in Armidale territory?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be up here with my family. It's cold today, but it is, you know, early October. I'm used to being in the beach, in the water, down in Newcastle this time of the year, but certainly not keen for a swim today here in Armidale. But that's Armidale. That's part of living up here. And the sort of not only the professional opportunity to come up here was an exciting one, but also just the personal opportunity to come and live and breathe in another part of the world that's truly beautiful was really exciting as well. So we're really pleased to be here and excited to get into our work and exploring the outdoors.
And you and your four kids, and I believe you're there because you have a turtle-obsessed wife.
That's right. My wife, Jackie, is out at the University of New England doing a PhD on eastern long-necked turtles, which is very exciting. So we're about fieldwork season has just begun, and that means that we are about to jump in the rivers and start catching turtles and things, which is pretty exciting.
And they're a little bit different, those turtles, from the turtles that you would have seen perhaps when you grew up. Was it in the Whitsundays, Zane?
That's right, Louise. Yeah, you're right. I'm used to the big ocean sea turtles. I was very fortunate to spend the formative years of my life in the Whitsunday Island. Spent some time on Hayman Island and South Mole Island, and I really attribute my time up there to who I am today. Obviously, a very formative part of my life in my early years, from sort of when roughly being a toddler through to the end of primary school, where I was just outside all the time, in the water, in the bush, paddling, swimming, climbing, doing all those kinds of things. And I still love doing those things today. And being in a truly spectacular and beautiful part of the world has inspired and created and shaped who I am today as a teacher and as a father and as a person.
And that man is very much an environmentalist, Zane.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's an interesting label to have. I wouldn't necessarily call myself that, but I'm certainly very passionate about the environment and very passionate about the outdoors. And when you spend as much time in the outdoors as I have, you can't help but love it, appreciate it, and most importantly, be grateful for it.
And when we first got to meet you as the Beats, our biodiversity endangered and threatened species function, it was essentially in the context of the work that you were doing with the kids at that time in Newcastle and about to happen in Armidale, in terms of how you actually incorporate that love of the outdoors into the learning curriculum. And you were doing some quite exciting things. I think you were emulating, the sort of the gardening TV, our lovely Costa.
that's right, Louise. Yeah, and look, that, my environment or my context in Newcastle is very different to the one I have here in Armidale now, in that the school I was at was a very urban, right on the edge of the Newcastle CBD, so we didn't necessarily have bush that was easily accessible and things like that. But we did have lots of beautiful parks and different gardens and those kinds of things. So instilling a love of the outdoors, even in that urban environment, was really, really important to me. And we had this great garden that had been established in our school for quite a period of time. And I guess we wanted to run a program that really got the kids into that garden to build it, but also to learn in it. So we created a whole heap of learning, a suite of learning programs around the garden that incorporated mathematics, that incorporated geography, science, English, all the different key learning areas, so that the kids could be outside learning. And it was immensely successful, and the end result was this great package of videos or short film episodes of Blue, what we call Bluegate Garden TV, where the kids were educating their community and the viewers on everything from composting to wicking garden beds, et cetera, all these wonderful things. So,
That sounds terrific. I hear you've got your kids in the background that haven't gone back.
Yeah, they've just come in from the trampoline, and they've
no worries at all. you know, we've all got kids in the background these days, or something listening. So that series of TV has also, you've also pulled it together. I think you've been working with one of our Beats guys, Vin Rao, to actually put together for teachers a learning resource or a guide to be able to how you can actually incorporate that kind of holistic, if you will, learning.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, one of the key things, again, this was at my previous school, Hamilton Public School. One of our little mottos at the school was children of the world, and we used that to position ourselves, not just that we had all these different, it was a very multicultural school, not only did we have that multicultural influence, but also not only were we children of the world, but we were citizens of the world. And so there was always this underlying, theme or concept at the school to be thinking about what are these big global issues that are going on, and then what can we do at a local level to have an impact. And obviously things like the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals were something that fed into our programming as well. So we'd look at these big global issues and we think, well, how can we impact that at our local level? And that provided a platform for some really meaningful and relevant teaching to go on, because we could look at an issue that could be a social issue or an environmental issue. We go, well, what are we doing here to support that? We looked at, when we were in the garden, we looked at biodiversity and we looked at the importance of bees, and we drew in some experts in that field, and we did a whole program around the importance of bees for our future, for our livelihood, for what we eat, for all those really, really important, that really important part that bees play in the on a big global level. And then we're like, well, what can we do in our garden to support bees? So we're able to contribute towards this big overall goal of having biodiversity and supporting pollination, all those kind of things. We're able to say, well, what can we do in our garden and our community to support that? And that's where we're able to drive our learning, our science, our geography, our writing, all these different learning areas through that medium. And we've been able to, I guess, through doing that, we've been able to take the learnings from that and the kinds of things that we've created, the unit of work essentially that we've created, and working with Vin, we've been able to create a resource that, you know, can be shared, could be picked up by any teacher, and localized or contextualized to their school. And for us, it was bees. We've also looked at owls as well. But for you, you know, I know here in Armidale, there's an endangered turtle. So the next program I'm going to do will be around an endangered turtle. So localizing it to your community, and also taking on board what the students want to do. The owl project we did has very much been student driven. We put out a whole heap of endangered animals, and that was something that they really identified with. So we pursued that barking owl as an animal that they wanted to investigate and explore and eventually create an artwork through.
And that's fantastic, because essentially you're using the whole local, I'm at home in this area concept to actually reach out to the global. So you're shrinking it, and then at the same time you're also growing that opportunity for the kids to understand.
Yeah, that's a really important my wife, the scientist, you know, and is sort of far more trained in this area than what I am, but that's, you know, she often talks about the importance of these big world problems. They're so huge, it's so hard to know what to do as an individual. But the biggest impact you can have, the best thing you can do is you know, thinking about what your actions are and what you're doing, but then also thinking about your sphere of influence, and whether they're the children in your classroom or the people in your family, working together to solve these problems can actually have a really significant impact. And it has that that effect that then those kids have got that learning, and then they can take it onto their high school or into a broader community, and they've, you know, done this learning before, and it looks something, you know, similar again to them when they pick up the next issue that they want to explore.
And I guess, you know, because we all know that teachers are under a lot of stress to try and just sort of navigate the curriculum. There is a clear curriculum around history and geography, science, maths and English. But at the same time, environmental is a key learning area, isn't it? It cuts across all of those verticals, and it kind of it's a bit of a glue, or can be.
Absolutely, Louise. Yeah, so sustainability in New South Wales is one of our cross-curricular priority areas. So that essentially means that it's a concept or a theme that we sort of have the opportunity to drive through all those KLAs, and that's a really that's an awesome thing, because it means that while we do have a busy curriculum and there's lots of things going on, the best way to attack or approach that busy curriculum is to try and integrate KLAs together, or key learning areas together, and having a project that links those together through sustainability is a really powerful way to not only mark off the different outcomes that we're trying to achieve in the curriculum, but also deliver the children with a really relevant learning program. And we know from research that when the learning is relevant, the students are more engaged, they're more and they learn more, they get more out of it, because they think it's interesting and they can see the relevancy of that project to what's going on around them.
Well, with the barking owls, I believe you actually, didn't you have some owls up the tree, or some images of the owls or hanging on a tree, and the kids had to write some stuff about it?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I guess what we did with that whole project was we did a whole heap of research and things around the owls and where they live and what threats there are to them and all those kinds of things. And the final assessment, or the final piece of the unit of work, was to create an artwork, and with that artwork we displayed it. So we created a dark room at our school, and this was part of a larger art show that was going on at the school, but we created a dark room at the school, so we replicated a nighttime environment, and we brought in all branches and trees and different sorts of things, and we had our sculptured owls all hanging around this dark room. It was really cool. We sort of had owl calls going on in the background, and when the parents walked into the room to have a look, we gave them like a little torch so they could sort of go in. So it was like they were going on a little field trip themselves, which is really cool, and people really enjoyed that sensory experience. But it also, what it did was it showed children that art is a really cool way to draw awareness to a particular issue. And it's cool to make the art, and that's one part of it, but it's also cool when our art has a message or has a purpose that it's trying to achieve.
Yeah, learning through fun and having fun through learning, you can't get much better than that, really, Zane, can you?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. And so the turtle that's under threat up in the Armidale Way, you guys are getting your wellies on, or are you potentially? Or
bare? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we only landed here about 4 weeks ago, so it's very early stages. But I'm starting to think ahead to 20. It's the October 2023. So starting to think ahead to 2024, and I know Lynn Strong from Action for Agriculture is another friend of the Beats as well. She's got some great programs around the Creative Koala program and things that I've been involved in before. And I guess I'm starting to think about, what it is that I'd love to do next year at my new school to bring sustainability into the school and to start thinking about it. And an endangered turtle seems like a great place to start a campaign around raising some awareness and seeing what we can do to help ensure the survival of that turtle in our ecosystem up here. So
absolutely, I was a long time ago went to school in Armidale there for a bit, and there were koalas around in those days, that's for sure. And we are doing some work with Lynn and at the Beats with the koalas, so looking forward to that. as we're just drawing to the end of the podcast, Zane, there's three things that we like to ask everybody, whoever does a podcast with us, what they'd like people to think, what they'd like people to feel, and what they'd like people to do after a podcast like this. I'm dropping that on you without even giving you a heads up, mate.
Okay, let's start with think. Sorry, I'm just writing these down. So think, what was the second one?
Feel.
Feel.
And do.
And do. I guess I'd love for people to think about, and I guess I'm talking to teachers here and educators, I guess I'd really love to think and perhaps like people to think about how they can be creative and think about how they can be, how they can draw, what am I trying to say? I want them to think about how they can bring sustainability into their into their education programs and how they can do that in a way that, you know, often as teachers, sometimes we do get bombarded by the busyness of our curriculum and of all those other priorities that we have in the classroom. But there are ways around that and there are ways to really inspire our children. And I think I always think about when obviously being in the primary school category, well, in the primary school age group, so kindergarten through to year six, when kids leave, and I've had the pleasure of being in and around year five and year six quite a bit over the last 5 years, being with those kids, I really want them to have, the number one thing I want them to leave primary school with is a love of learning. And by having these programs that are relevant, that tap into local people and resources and priorities, by giving them things that are really engaging and enjoyable, they really enjoy. Like when we shot the Blue Goat Garden TV, they enjoyed it. They loved doing it. They wanted to learn more. And if we can, be creative as teachers to find exciting and interesting ways to present our curriculum, then I think, that will inspire that love of learning for children. So I guess that's what I really want people to think about, how they can be creative and inspire their kids. What I guess I'd love them to feel, I'd really love people just to feel the outdoors, get outside. That's really, really important that the students have that, both as teachers, but also the students have that tactile opportunity as well to feel the water, to feel the leaves, to feel the trees, et cetera, because that makes it real. And if I link that back to, I guess, my experiences as a young boy in the Whitsundays and things, that swimming in and amongst the Barrier Reef, climbing these beautiful mountains in the Whitsundays and things, that feeling is something that's stayed with me forever. And because I have, and this is not an uncommon thing at all, but because I've had that experience outside and I've come to love the outdoors and I want to protect it and I want to look after it and I'm very grateful for it. So, and then in terms of what I want people to do, I guess to link back in with the first thing I said around finding creative and inspiring ways to make learning interesting and enjoyable for children through sustainability, I'd love people to jump on the Beats website, jump on Action for Agriculture, Creative Koalas, the Archibald Prize. There are so many amazing resources that are out there to support this. There's funding that's available as well. So Sustainable Schools New South Wales are not, universities. There's no shortage of people who get really excited when you go to them as a teacher and say, hey, I've got a group of 30 primary school age kids that would love to do a project on turtles or on some other local species or something called Land Cares, the other one. There's so many organisations out there that have great programs. Support the other one I should mention as well as Local Land Services. They're always really fantastic. So whoever your local land services person is, just Google them. You'll find them in a flash. And, they're a great organisation to help out as well. So do those things.
Fantastic, Zane. And we've got a podcast with Mel Tyas, who works in that space.
Right.
So absolutely, for all those listeners out there, don't hesitate to jump onto that and find out a little bit more. Zane, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Really appreciate it. Zane Osborne, thank you.
Thank you, Louise.